Nothing like the name of Jesus, is it? Amen. Thank you for that song. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Psalm chapter 1, please. Psalm chapter 1. We had a great day Sunday, and we thank the Lord for that. I enjoyed it. We had six saved throughout the different services Sunday. And I really enjoyed Brother Phipps' concert. We just may have to make him our Doug Oldham, like old Jerry Falwell used to have Big Doug Oldham singing for him. And not that you're big, but, you know, just that you're good like he was good, all right? Psalm chapter 1. You have your Bibles? Amen. Raise them up. Let me see them. Ah, some of you are not raising your Bibles up. Looking on with your wife. Okay. Always bring your textbook to class. Amen. The Word of God. I hope you do take some notes as the Lord impresses them on your heart to do so. We'll start a study in some selected Psalms. We won't go through all of the Psalms. That'd take us quite a long time. But we'll do some selected Psalms on Wednesday night. I like to, on Wednesday nights, to try to feed the flock a little deeper, a little bit more than maybe on Sunday morning, Sunday night, which are more evangelistic, maybe a little bit more practical type messages that don't go quite as deep. But I like to do a Bible study or a series on Wednesday nights when the Lord allows us to do that. And so we're going to look at the book of Psalms for the next few Wednesday nights. We may pull in and out of that depending on what's going on. But Psalm chapter 1, the first four verses, and this tells you how to have happiness God's way. Happiness is something we all want, and we can have it, but we can't have it unless we have it God's way. And so we look at it, begin with verse 1, blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now here's the contrast. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. A little contrast in those that are happy. Blessed or happy is used many, many times throughout the Psalms, probably somewhere around 49 times. It is certainly means something more than a temporary thrill. We think if we get goosebumps for about 2 minutes, we're happy. But this kind of happiness is something that's far deeper than that. It's much more deep in the relationship that we have with God in happiness, and we need to have it. There's always, like anything in life, negatives and positives. And if we're going to be happy in the Lord, there's some negatives and there's some positives. There's some don'ts and there's some do's. There's some right things that God expects out of us, and there's some things that He expects us not to do. Now in verse 1, what He tells us, first of all, is to avoid sin. Amen. Basically, that's what you would say if you were summarizing that verse. He's saying, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, don't stand in the way of sinners, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Three different categories and three different ways of doing it, walking, standing, and sitting, showing you some of the progressiveness of it and the downward track of what it means when we don't do what God tells us to do. First Thessalonians, Jesus said in chapter 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of sin. Amen. I mean all appearance of sin, not just a little bit, but all appearance of sin. Stay away from it. Abstain from it. God is clear about that. And if we're going to be happy Christians, we must avoid sin and avoid all appearance of sin. Avoid what causes sin. There are things that can cause you to sin. Whatever it is, avoid it. Don't have anything to do with it. Stay away from it. That's God's admonition to us as believers. We need to avoid sinful counsel. You know, sometimes Christians take counsel from those who are not saved. Now, explain the logic in that. That's not to say that all unsaved people can't have something good to say, but when it comes to counsel and a lot of counsel, and from getting our philosophy of life and all of that, our worldview, any of those things, we don't need to go to the unsaved world to get those things. Amen. They don't have the answers. We have the answers. Amen. At least we tell them we do, and we should have. And so we ought to avoid sinful counsel. I would not count 100% on all the counsel that Dr. Laura gives. Amen? She may give some, but I wouldn't count on 100% of it. Or any of the rest of them, dear Heloise or whoever it is, and all the rest. And we need to be very careful. Listen to me. We need to be very careful where we send people that are having problems to get their counsel. We do not need to go out to the unsaved psychologist, the unsaved psychiatrist, and have them telling us what to do. They, many times, don't have the answers. Some of them commit suicide. Reminds me of the policeman who was trying to talk the guy out of jumping off a bridge, and the guy told him all of his problems. When he got through telling him all of his problems, they were both depressed, and they both jumped off into the river and committed suicide. And a lot of the psychiatrists and psychologists, and I'm sure many of them are very sincere, and they certainly mean well, no doubt. Maybe most of them. But friend, they don't have the answers. Let me tell you, the best kind of counseling is Bible counseling. In the jargon of those who work in counseling, if you want the academic name of it, it is nouthetic counseling. It comes from the Greek word nouthesis out of the Bible, which simply is talking about going to God's Word, getting your premise and your thesis from the Word of God, and giving people the answer from the Word of God. Do we believe the Bible is sufficient or not? I believe the Bible is sufficient. And yet there are many people who will wait until they've gone to everybody else, then they'll come to the pastor. And they say, well, you don't have a degree in counseling. Friend, I have every authority and greater authority than anybody else take this Bible and counsel anybody that comes in my office, and any Bible-believing preacher has that right to do so. Amen. And we can take the Bible and do biblical counseling. And a lot of times, people who go out to the world, they're not going to tell them what to do. Do you know what the average Freudian or Rogerian counselor does when you're talking to them? They use reflective response and mirror response is what it's called. And you'll say to them, well, you know, I have some emotional problems. And they will answer to you, oh, you have emotional problems. And you'll say, yes, and there's some things that are bothering me. And they'll say, oh, you have some things that are bothering you. And then you'll say, yes, and really I feel badly about it. Oh, you feel badly about what you're doing. They're never going to confront them with a real problem. Do you know that most depression is a result of sin? It really is. It is not the cause of it. You will not find what the secular counselors call mental illness and the medical model of it. You're not going to find that in the Bible, except where there is specific demon possession, or there might be some kind of organic problem in the life of a person. And we would understand that. For instance, here's what I'm saying. If somebody has a brain tumor, They're not going to be acting right after a period of time as that tumor grows. They may have it removed and they may still have some problems because of that. That's from organic things. There may be those that have a problem with thyroid. And sometimes they'll get mean and cranky and you won't know what's going on and you'll wonder why they're that way. But usually it boils down to one of two things. There's an organic problem, and a medical doctor or someone like that may help in that instance. And always the Bible counselor needs to work with a medical doctor. But many times the reason people are depressed and the other counselors will not go to it, and that is because of sin. And one of the things you need to confront people with is there any sin in your life? Is there anything in your life that might be causing the depression that you're having? And I'm telling you, many times it is related to sin. And here's the way the world would counsel a homosexual. Here comes a guy and he goes to a Freudian counselor, which is what the vast majority of them are out there, not the biblical counselor. And he'll go to that counselor and say, you know, I've got a problem, I think. I'm a homosexual. And instead of them saying, you know, homosexuality is a sin, you know what they're going to tell him or her if she's a lesbian? They're going to say, we understand you're sick. You have a sickness. Therefore, you cannot help it. That's the medical model. So we understand you and we accept you just like you are, and we don't try to change you whatsoever. And you're okay and I'm okay, you just go ahead and do that. And the main thing is, don't feel guilty about it, because that's not good for your mental health. My friend, that's not the way God counsels, and that's not what the Bible says. And we are getting so cotton-picking brainwashed in our society by secular humanists that the independent fundamental Baptists are buying into that junk. And it's the wrong thing to buy into. We need biblical counseling. And if you'll tell a person that is a homosexual, they say they're gay. They're not gay. They're the most depressed, miserable people in the world. They have one of the highest suicide records of anybody. Why? Because they don't deal with sin. When they deal with sin and they come out of that, they become happy, productive Christians that God can use. And they can be used for the glory of God. Now, I know that seems very straight to some of you, but God knows in these days we better be straight. Amen. And tell it just like it really is. That doesn't mean, you say, well, that's being unkind. No, the kindest thing you can do is tell them the truth. Do you want the doctor to give you a lie or tell you the truth if you go in? He comes in and says, you know, you say, well, I'm feeling real bad, and I'm just, I vomit every morning, and I have pain here and all of that. And he just says, oh, really? Well, I'm so sorry. Don't let it make you feel bad. Don't feel too bad about it. Just go back home. Or do you want him to check into it and say, well, you know, it may be that you've got a gallbladder problem. Let's do some x-ray and all of that. You might even have cancer. Oh, I don't want to know. Well, you may not want to know, but you'd be better off to find it out. Let them get it out of there. Let them go to work on it. Do what they've got to do. You don't want a doctor that's not going to tell you the truth. You want him to tell you. You like a doctor with good bedside manners. I do too. I like for them to treat me like a baby when I'm in there. When they put that gown and hat on me, I feel like a baby, and I want to be treated like a baby. And I want all the grace I can get when I get home, too, from my wife. Amen? Wait on me. Bring me that soup. No, I want somebody to tell me the truth. I'm just saying, folks, we should not go out there to an unsaved, unregenerate world and expect them to give us the answers. We have the answer, and the answer's in the book. And God wrote the book. Amen? And the answer is in the book. And so we need to not go to them. Now, the Bible is 100% correct 100% of the time. Amen? And so many times, that's the way it has to be dealt with. So we should not use those counselors and seek counsel in the world. And God gives us that principle. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Just don't do it. Walk in the counsel of the godly. And then he says, avoid sinful companions. That's what he's saying here. Avoid sinful companions. They should not be our closest friends. That doesn't mean you've got to come out of the world and you can't talk to people, because how are we going to win people to the Lord if we can't talk to them and know them and befriend them and so on and so forth? But they should not be our closest friends, where we take them on and take their lifestyle on and let them pull us away from God and away from the church. Avoid sinful companions. Lot went down into Sodom, and then Sodom got into Lot. Amen. He went down to the city, and then the city got into him. You know why? He started running around with bad people down in Sodom. He thought that was a place to go where he could be a big shot, and he got down in and got to running around with sinners, and the result was he had to be delivered out of that mess. And he had some losses because of that. And Jesus loved sinners, and Jesus helped sinners. And Jesus was in contact with sinners, but they were not his closest company and his closest companions and friends. He would help them, but they were not his closest friends. The 12 disciples were, and one of them was a hypocrite. We know that, and Jesus knew it too. But I'm telling you that he did not take on the lifestyle, though he loved sinners. We do the same thing. And God says, avoid sinful companions. Be careful about that. You can get involved in some kind of sports with the wrong crowd if you're not careful. Sometimes I know that in our city back in Connersville, we had the church league in softball, and we had the industrial league. And I'd see some of those guys get involved with the industrial league away from the church league, and the next thing you knew, they were doing what they were doing. And then they were laying out of church, playing ball on Sunday, and doing that kind of thing. God says, avoid sinful companions. They'll pull you away from God. Avoid their jokes. Avoid their guttural language and all of that. Don't compromise. You say, well, if I compromise a little bit, I'll change them. You'll never do it. You compromise, and they'll make fun of you behind your back. They'll say, you know, I thought he was a real Christian, and I've been watching his life or her life, and now I see they're telling dirty jokes, and they're listening to them, and now they've come to the parties, and they're not drinking much, but they've begun to drink a little bit socially. Friend, you're not going to influence them that way. They'll make fun of you and die and go to hell because of that. We need to take a stand. Don't compromise. That's what he's saying. You're not going to change them. Let me tell you what will change them. This will change them. It's the Word of God. Bring them to church with you. Let me preach to them. Let the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God do a work on their hearts, and they'll come to Christ and respect you. If you compromise, they're not going to come to you. If you'll take a stand when they have problems, they will come to you first, because they have problems, and they'll see something in your life that they don't see in other people's lives. And then he says, avoid sinful contempt. That's part of what he's saying there. Avoid those who make fun of holiness and decency. Avoid anything that makes fun of holiness and decency. We have to be careful what we watch on television. Amen? Amen. I don't care to watch Jay Leno because he makes fun of God sometimes and of the church and of Christians. I despise David Letterman. I'd like to see him get saved. And I know he's an Indiana boy, but I cannot stand the vulgarity of his program, what I have seen of it. I don't like it, and I don't watch it, because he's going to pull me away in my thinking. Of course, some of you probably love Jerry Springer. He's your favorite one. Then there's Rosie O'Donnell, and there's Generis, or whatever her name is. And I'm not putting Oprah in the same category as the last one I mentioned, but you better not be taking your advice from Oprah, because she may sound religious and Baptistic once in a while, but she's a spiritist. She's very much involved in spiritism. Watch out who you listen to and what you read and what you watch on television. Be careful. Because the next thing you know, you'll be doing what they do, and you'll have your conscience seared to cussing, to sin, to all of those kinds of things. The next thing you know, you'll just be accepting it. And then your kids will be accepting more. And then their kids will be accepting more. And quite frankly, that's why we're in the mess we're in America today. And why God may have to judge us in America because of it. Secondly, absorb Scripture. Verse 2. Avoid sin. In verse 2, His delight is in the law of the Lord. Second thing, very quickly, if you want to be happy, God's way is absorb Scripture. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Wisdom comes through studying the Word of God. Scripture tells us where we came from. Thank God, and Scripture tells us where we're going. I know where I came from. I remember one time asking my mama where calves came from. She said, oh, just go roll a log over and that's where they come from. And I went out one day and I don't know how many logs I rolled over, and I came back and said, mama, I hadn't seen a calf one. I don't know what she did with that, but listen, I know where I came from. Amen. I know who made me. God did. And there's no hint in the Bible of evolution, and I'll believe the Bible before I believe scientific theory any day. They find some pigeon bone out in the middle of the boondocks and say it's a billion years old because of carbon dating, which carbon dating can be explained with the universal flood and all of the things that have to do with that. Doesn't mean the earth is 6 billion years old or 5 million years old or whatever. The Bible says God made this earth, and God is all powerful. And God Almighty could speak by divine fiat and say, let there be sun, moon, and stars, and they were there. He didn't have to wait till they broke off, peeled off, cooled down, got together for him to know their name. Almighty God created it all. And when he made Adam intelligent. And when he made Eve, he made her prettier than Adam. Amen. Remember, he built her. Amen. And Adam named all the animals. We've gone through all of that. But in the end, we know where we're going in eternity. We're going to be with God. And we know that all else will fail. You know, everything else changes, but I'm telling you, this book does not change. I mean, it's absolute. It's just as pure as it ever was. And I'm glad that it does not change. Man's ways change. A lot of things change. I went back sometime back to our, I guess it was 40th reunion, somewhere along there. That seems impossible. But I noticed that everybody else had changed over those years, you know, including myself. There are books that are no longer in print. There are, science has changed. Things they used to teach us as a fact, they now say, well, we taught you wrong. It's not a fact. The books change. They're antiquated. Then they come along with new math, and the new math doesn't work too good, some of it, and then some change back to the other or some other deal. Medical science changes, they tell us, about every 5 years. I bet you that recently had gallbladder surgery are glad that it's changed. Amen. Used to, you'd be in the hospital for about a week, and it was a rough deal. But all of that changes, but God's Word doesn't change. God's Word is the same. That's why we all delight ourselves in this book. That's why we ought to desire it. He says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. What delights you? What thrills you? What delights you? Some hobby you have? Well, that's all right to a point, but let the Word of God delight you. Are you delighted in the Word of God? That means that you ought to do daily Bible reading. Amen? Did you read your Bible already today besides coming to church tonight? Did you spend some time in the Word of God? Delight thyself in the law of the Lord. Delight thyself in the Word of God. Get up a little earlier. Stay up a little late. Spend some time in the book. I like to get in the Word early. It helps me with many times. It's amazing how it helps me with what I'm going to be facing that day or going through that day, or gives me the wisdom for that day that I need. Memorize the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Whatever the problem you may have, get you some verses, memorize them, whatever it is, your besetting sin, and learn it and use it for the glory of God. And then he says, meditate on it. Sometimes just one thought. The Lord is my shepherd. Take that and just meditate on it all day long. The Lord is my shepherd. Personally, he's my shepherd. And we can meditate on that. The Lord is. That means he lives right now. Amen. He is. Present tense. The Lord is right now my shepherd. And I'm glad I have a shepherd because he will lead me. Amen. He will protect me. God is my shepherd. All that I do, he'll provide for me, whatever it may be in his time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. One little boy said, what else could I want? Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. What else could I want? And we need to meditate on the Word of God. Avoid sin, absorb Scripture, and thirdly, we'll be through. Achieve success. That's what we want. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I like that, don't you? That's instruction to us. If we want to be happy and do it God's way, then that's what we have to do. We have to avoid sin. We have to stay in the Word of God, absorb the Scripture. And then we have to come to the place where we are depending on the Lord in that way. He says we're planted. That means somebody else did it. Trees don't plant themselves. God planted me when I was 9 years old by the rivers of water of life as a little lad, and I accepted Christ as my Savior, and he planted me by Jesus Christ. And he expects me to grow. God doesn't expect us to stay little saplings and immature Christians. That would be abnormal. God wants us to grow and become trees. And not only that, but be productive. Bringeth forth fruit. God wants us to bring forth fruit. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified. How's that? How's God glorified? That you bear much fruit. That glorifies our Father. How much do we want to glorify our Father? Back in Indiana, they had apple orchards. I used to love to go there in the fall. I've told you about that, I think. But it was always a beautiful time of the year, and the change of the leaves and the color. And I'd like to go in there and get some apple cider, the kosher kind, and not like some of the Baptist deacons do and leave it in the trunk a long time. And then, but at any rate, we'd get some apple cider and popcorn and some of that stuff, and then get some good apples and go out in the apple orchard, and you could pick your own apples. Suppose I went out there and there wasn't any apples. Man, I'd be disappointed. I'd say, you need to get you some new trees, man, because they're not producing apples. God says we ought to produce fruit. We should have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. There's productiveness. There's perseverance. He said his leaf shall not wither. In other words, don't ever quit on God. Amen. Some never get started, so you can't quit. You ought to get started, but once you get started, bless the Lord, don't quit on God. Just keep on keeping on. I think the Wednesday night crowd's a crowd that keeps on keeping on, amen? Just keep serving God and persevere. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God wants to bless us. Are you blessable tonight? God wants to prosper us. If we'll walk in his way and stay in his word, do what he says, he'll prosper us. Now, that's not always money, by the way. There's a lot of other things that come in that category of prosperity. But look at the ungodly, verse 4. That could be a backslidden Christian or an unsaved person. More specifically, an unsaved person. The ungodly are not so. They're never happy. They're never productive. They don't delight in the word of God. They walk in the way of sinners. They spend their time doing that kind of thing. Ungodly. That means without God. Uncola. Ungodly. Without God primarily. And they don't avoid sin. They don't read the Scripture. They could care less about picking up a Bible. And they never achieve godly success and real happiness. the way it's done is through staying away from sin and staying in the Word of God, these things I've mentioned tonight. Then, and only then, can we expect God to give us happiness and prosperity in our lives. Let's stand. Happiness God's way. Have you been spending time daily in the Word of God? If not, come to Him tonight and make a commitment to Him that you'll start doing it or improve it. Maybe you got away from it and you need to get back to it. Meditating on it, absorbing it in your heart, and by all means, obeying it. Is there anything in the Bible that you know? You know, a lot of times we worry about what we don't know. Sometimes we need to be most concerned about what we already know that the Bible teaches us. Absorb the Word of God. Stay away from the very appearance of sin. Father, bless us and help us. We want to be blessable. We want to be happy. We want Your power and blessings on our lives. And so, God, help us to be so wise that we do exactly what the manual says and avoid sinners and sin, the appearance of evil, and all those other things that go with it. Help us to be careful about our mind and what we, where we go, what we see, what we do. Lord, help us to love Your Word, to delight in it like we would our favorite dessert, and even more so, to delight in it in the spiritual realm. Lord, if there's someone here tonight who's not in the Word daily, I pray that You would lay it on their hearts to do that. Some have gotten away from it, got busy. They didn't intend to, maybe, but they know tonight that it's happened. They need to get back to spending some time in the book. And I pray You would help us, because we know that's how we're going to be happy and prosperous. Bless us in Christ's name.